We are going to continue our series on the Bible series, declaring the whole counsel of God. With the Christmas break in between, we kind of had a break. The last time we have meditated on the Bible series was till the 10th chapter of the book of Numbers. So we'll pick it up from that point on. But just as a reminder for each one of us, when we are studying this particular series, when we are meditating on this Bible series, we want to really understand how this Bible declares the whole purpose of God or whole counsel of God. Whole counsel or whole purpose pretty much mean the same. So it's very important for us to understand in what way is this entire Bible declaring the whole counsel of God. It declares the end from the beginning. It declares his entire purpose, as Paul the Apostle said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. He did not want to refrain from declaring the whole purpose of God. So for today's scripture portion, we are going to take a New Testament verse, very small verse, but profound depth and insight in it, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Altogether, please, shall we read this very important verse? In order to be able to really understand this remaining portion of the book of Numbers, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 altogether, please. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Very small verse. We can memorize it. Probably you might have memorized it already. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It's very essential in the context of what Paul has written. He's talking about that one day, this faith will become sight, but right now when we are here on this earth, we walk by faith and not by sight. So I request each one of you to please turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers chapter 10. As a reminder, we have meditated already on the book of Genesis, where we dealt on how God chose a people through the family of Abraham. God chose a people in the book of Genesis. And in the book of Exodus, God redeemed those people. The people whom he chose in Genesis, he redeemed those people in the book of Exodus. And in the book of Leviticus, he sanctified those people, telling how to be able to be holy, how to be holy for he is holy. So God chose the people, redeemed those people, sanctified those people. And in the book of Numbers, God directed those people in the direction that we need to go. God directed the people in the book of Numbers. While the book of Leviticus describes believers' worship as to how to offer sacrifices unto God, the different kinds of sacrifices that we have meditated in the book of Leviticus, while the book of Leviticus describes the believers' worship, the book of Numbers describes believers' walk. Believers' walk. How you and I should walk. It's very essential for us to understand from this book of Numbers. And last month, when we have meditated the book of Numbers, the first 10 chapters, the title of that sermon was Numbers Walking in the Wilderness. And we are continuing with the same title with part 2, which is Numbers Walking in the Wilderness, part 2. So let's pick it up from the book of Numbers, chapter 10. Where we have left. Numbers chapter 10. All this while, till this point in Numbers chapter 10, from the point Exodus, where they have traveled from Egypt to Mount Sinai, from that point on, they have stayed there. Almost the remaining part of Exodus, book of Exodus, book of Leviticus, until this Numbers. So now we'll see that they are going to leave from Sinai. From Sinai, chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 12. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 12. And the sons of Israel set out on their journeys from the wilderness of Sinai. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. I want just to show you this picture as to how the Exodus happened. From the land of Egypt on the west side, they have traveled all the way to cross the Red Sea. They passed through the place called Mara, the bitterness, Elim, where they saw the fountain of waters. And then they came to the wilderness of, from wilderness of Shur, they went to the wilderness of Sin, and then they stopped at Rephidim, and then the Mount Sinai, which is called the wilderness of Sinai. Wilderness of Shur, wilderness of Sin, wilderness of Sinai, which is in the southern side. And now, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 12 says, they now travel from the wilderness of Sinai, where the Mount Sinai was, all the way to the wilderness of Paran. Wilderness of Paran. That's what it says in Numbers. You see, the way in which God let people go down and up, we go through ups and downs in our lives. We may want to go shortcut route to Canaan, but God's plan and intentions are different. And when God allows those things to happen in our lives, we should be obedient to the will of the Lord and accept the will of God in our lives to move on, because as long as His presence is with us, it is better even to go through the wilderness and the valleys in our lives. So that is what in Numbers chapter 10. So from here, they travel all the way. And that is where Numbers chapter 10 and verse 12 talks about. Just wanted to clarify certain things related to how these people were traveling. I think I showed you a picture. I wanted to give a little more clarity here in this picture, where I was mentioning that the Kohathites and Gershonites were carrying the holy things. Actually, if you see from verse 14 onwards, it really tells you how these people are going to go one after the other, one after the other. But if you see in verse 33, important, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 33, then they set out from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord journeying in front of them. With the Ark of the Covenant journeying in front of them. Though these people, the Levites, the Gershonites and Merarites were carrying the tabernacle material, the Kohathites were carrying the holy things, but the Ark of the Covenant, we presume that Moses and Aaron were also ahead with the Ark of the Covenant, and this is how the travel happened. I just wanted to clarify that from last time that I was mentioning, that the Ark of the Ark of the Covenant was going in front of them. Ark of the Covenant was going in front of them, according to Numbers chapter 10 and verse 33. For 3 days they were traveling. For three days they were traveling. And in verse 34, it says, the cloud of the Lord was over them by day, and when they set out from the camp. What a wonderful experience it is. Every walk of journey that they had the cloud of the Lord upon them, the Ark of the Covenant with them. Such a wonderful experience. In our life journey also, we need to be able to experience the presence of the Lord at every step. When I was reading through this, I really loved it, because God is in front of me this time. He is guiding me in the direction. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know what is God, what we are going to see in the next 3 days. From the Mount of the Lord, wonderfully they had experienced Mount Sinai. Though it was a terrible experience that people could not go even touch the Mount Sinai, but they received the law of the Lord. They have received, they have been able to witness the glory of the Lord. Now they are on the journey. This is called a mobile tabernacle. It is being going along, you know, throughout the journey that they were going through. This was how they were going, like a train. They were going with the Ark of the Covenant in front of them. In front of them. Okay? So now, we are going to get into verse 35. Then it came about when the Ark set out that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered. Let those who hate you flee from you. That is going. And verse 36, when it came to rest, He said, return, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel. That is how they knew when to start, when to stop. Rise up, O Lord, return, O Lord. That is how they were able to really see their journey and their walk in the wilderness. Today's theme verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. From these chapters that we are going to meditate from chapter 11 onwards till close to chapter 15, we're going to see these two aspects, and we're going to try to compare these two, which is walking by sight, walking by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That is what Paul the Apostle was saying. But how did these people walk by sight, and how did some people walk by faith? Walk by sight, lessons for us to learn not to do. Walk by faith, lessons for us to learn to do. You see that? Walk by sight, walk by faith. And that is how we understand the whole counsel of God. As much as Paul the Apostle has told in 2 Corinthians, we can understand that small concept from these chapters that we are going to see. Chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 1. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. Of adversity. Of the things that they were going through difficulty. Already they have experienced so much. They have experienced the crossing of the Red Sea. They have experienced manna. They experienced so many things. In spite of all of it, now that they are on their journey, in their walk in the wilderness, they started, first of all, note it down, in the walking by sight, complaining. Complaining. That is a word that I have seen here. Pretty much most of the English translations use the word complain. When we walk by sight, we look at the things of this world. We look at the temporal things, the earthly things. By sight, we are trying to walk with the Lord. We will be discouraged, my dear. If we look at the earthly things and try to walk with the Lord, saying, I'm walking with the Lord, by sight, we end up complaining of adversity. Something I'm missing in my life. That person is having something, I'm not having it. Complaining. They complained of adversity. In the hearing of the Lord, let me tell you, when we complain, God hears. It's not just when you pray that God hears. Even when we complain, don't forget that God is hearing any kind of complaints that we are trying to build forth, whether in our heart of hearts or in our mouths or talking to people, complaining. In the hearing of the Lord, and the Lord heard it. His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. God cannot handle complaints. When things are happening, we need to expect it, saying that, accept it, that it is God who is allowing me in my life, in spite of the wilderness journey that I'm going through. God is the one who's going to take care of me. Instead of that, these people were complaining. And the fire of the Lord burned among them. God cannot handle it. It was so immediate, if you see that. But you have somebody who is walking by faith. Verse 2. Please note it down. In verse 2, under walking by faith, the people therefore cried out to Moses. And Moses prayed to the Lord. And the fire died out. Moses prayed to the Lord. Praying is walking by faith. Not complaining. But you and I need to walk by faith through prayer. There are other incidents also. I've just gave you a note of it. When we go to that particular chapter, we can see how the praying person is a symbolism of a person who walks by faith. Are you a man of prayer? Are you a woman of prayer? Do you spend time in prayer? Or are you complaining? Many times we spend so much time in complaining, but very little time for prayer. We are very good in complaining. We can talk to so many people. We can say so much of complaints. Of this person is like that. That person is like that. This situation is like that. That government is like that. Even if it doesn't bother us, we keep complaining. How much time do you pray? How much time do you pray? Moses prayed to the Lord and the fire died out. You see that? That is more important, to be a man and woman of prayer. Verse 4. The rabble who were among them, mixed multitude, it says in some of the English translation, Misrita Janam. There were people, when they came out of the land of Egypt, there was a mixed multitude also. They said, oh, we too want to come. Along with the people of Israel, some people within Egypt, they also said, we also want to join you, tag along. They are called mixed multitude. And in that particular train of people, mixed multitude are the last. Actually, that is what the biblical scholars say. The last set of people are the mixed multitude, which they are trying to live out the worldly way and trying to say, oh, I'm going to church with you, but I have the world with me. Mixed multitude, mixed thinking. Not sanctified people, but mixed multitude. Every place where you see people meeting together will have some people who are mixed multitude. They will cause problems, definitely, because they do not have that full understanding of being sanctified and dedicated to the Lord. They are mixed multitude. They are called rabble in some of the English translations. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires. Some English translations say cravings. Greedy desires. What did they say? And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Note it down. Craving. Walking by sight is craving. Craving. You know the desires. So wonderful it was. If you really see in verse 5, we remember the fish we used to eat free in Egypt. They were people in bondage. But because of the bondage that they had, they were given fish to eat. They did not have fish while going on the way in that journey. Now they are saying, oh man, that was so good. So good. They are trying to inflict this mixed congregation of people. They are trying to affect the remaining people who were called by the Lord. Now they are getting affected. They are saying, fish we used to eat. Cucumbers. Melons. Sometimes when people say some words, they try to, you know, have the mouth watering for such kind of food. Because there are people who are food lovers. Food lovers more than anything else, for that matter. Anywhere you go, food. How is food? Everything food only. We have to be very careful. Here they were saying the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and the garlic. Now our appetite is gone. What is this journey? Our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. Now they are saying, what is this manna? Is this what we have to eat throughout our journey? Is this the bread from heaven? We are getting tired of this bread from heaven. We want something else. We want to look for something else to eat. Same old thing, week after week, day after week, the same manna? Can we try something else? New age movements. Let's see what other people think. Such kind of food. I want something else to satisfy my desires, my fleshly desires. Maybe that book might give a different opinion and maybe I can go after that and things like that. Don't live the bread from heaven. The cravings that people had, to the extent they are questioning the manna. Manna was like coriander seed. Its appearance was like the delium. The people would go about, gather it. See this? Go about it, gather it, grind it between the two mills, beat it with the mortar, boil it in pot and make cakes with it. So it's not just that directly eating. They're really preparing something out of it. You know, sometimes you have some things nowadays with so many new things that are coming up. They want to try different ways of using that same, seeds or ragi or something like that. Just eating may not be good. So let me make something out of it. You know, things like that. So they were making cakes out of it and the taste of the cakes baked with oil. They were having it. That is how they had, but they still were complaining, this manna is, we are getting tired of it. The cravings of the meat and garlic and cucumbers, spices, the tongue, just for the satisfaction of the tongue. And you know what they did? Verse 10, now Moses heard the people weeping. Note it down, complaining, craving, weeping. This is how their situation was. They were going through so much that they ended up weeping also. Weeping not in terms of crying out to the Lord, but it's more of a complaint and it's kind of a why? Why should it happen to us? Why should we go through it? Resulting in weeping. Sometimes, you know, we think that when we weep, we get things. You know, like children. They cry, I want it, I want it. Sometimes we are like that in front of God. I want it. If you weep, then, okay, don't worry, I'll give you. Sometimes that's how children try to get things by crying or, pestering, etc. We see here in verse 10, each man at the doorway of his tent, they were weeping. Imagine how the situation was. All the camps, remember the camps around the tabernacle? And how these people were, now they're complaining. What is this? What is going on at the doorway of the tentway? Anger of the Lord was greatly kindled. Moses said to the Lord, why have you been so hard on your servant? Now Moses, he went to the Lord. And he expressed his burden. He was trying to pour out his heart to the Lord. As a form of a prayer, we can say. He said to the Lord, verse 11, he did not go anywhere else. When Moses was going through difficulty, the only resort for him, not one of the resort, not the first resort, the only resort for him was God. Moses said to the Lord, but he was asking a lot of questions. When I was reading through it, I could imagine how Moses might be going through in his life. Why have you been so hard on your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of this people on me? Why should I carry the burden of this people on me, Lord? These people are such a complaining people. These people are a craving, greedy, desiring people, weeping people in front of me. What do I do, Lord? Verse 12, was it I who conceived all these people? Why should I carry this? Was it I who conceived all these people? Was it I who brought them forth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which you swore to their fathers? God told Moses, carry these people. That's what he's telling, that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom. Was it I who conceived these people? Was it I who brought them forth? God was the one who brought them forth. God is the one who is capable of bringing them off and giving them the new birth. Not Moses. He knows that. He knows that. But Moses was given the responsibility of carrying this people who are carnal people, childish people, and spiritually. He had to go through so much and he had to express it out. Verse 13, where am I to get meat to give all these people? Some people are tired. For they weep before me saying, give us meat that we may eat. Verse 14, now you see this. He really poured out to the level saying, I alone am not able to carry all these people because it is too burdensome for me. 600,000 men and then plus women and children and everyone together, so many people. I cannot do it, Lord. It's too burdensome for me. He just humbled himself and said, I cannot do it, Lord. This cannot be done by me. But he went one step ahead. But he said in verse 15, so if you're going to deal thus with me, please kill me at once. These men of God, be it Moses or Elisha or Elijah, these men of God, there were ups and downs in their lives to the extent of sometimes saying, Lord, kill me, Lord. I mean, I don't know if it is a right thing to say, but he was pouring out to the Lord. But God doesn't take, oh, because you said, okay, now you wanted me to kill you. Okay, done. No, he doesn't do that. Probably when you say that, he might increase the life of that person. I don't know. But Moses had his ups and downs. He is not a perfect man. But he's a man who knows that his only resort is God. And he can cry out to his God, no matter what. And that is what he did. Then God said, verse 16, the Lord therefore said to Moses, gather for me 70 men from the elders of Israel. 70 men. Verse 17, I will come down, speak with you there. I will take of the Spirit who is upon you and put him upon them. They shall bear the burden of the people with you, so that you will not bear it all alone. The work of the Lord has to be done together. The burden of the Lord has to be carried together. Each one is given responsibilities, no doubt about it. Moses had to be reminded, there are multiple ministries. You cannot do everything by yourself. You need help. His father-in-law Jethro also told him when he was in Sinai. Now God is telling him on the way to wilderness of Paran, you cannot do it by yourself. Let it not be a one-man show. Each ministry, make sure that there are people who are working. So note it down. Carry the burden, verse 17. And in verse 25, those 70 people who came, he will say, the Lord came down in the cloud in verse 25 and spoke to him. And he took of the Spirit who was upon him and placed him upon the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied but they did not do it again. Resting of the Spirit of God. Those who walk by faith, they carry the burden of the Lord. They don't say, oh, what is it for me? They are not selfish people. They want to carry the burden of the Lord. Brother, sister, what can I do? I want to be involved in the carrying of the burden of the Lord in the various ministries. And when we are available to serve the Lord, there will be the resting of the Holy Spirit of God upon you. Along with Moses, not that Moses is set aside and the remaining 70 people are taking up. Along with Moses, with different responsibilities that are given. Still Moses was leading these people, but there were others who were carrying the burden, trying to share the burden in whichever way possible to be able to work together. But there were two men who remained in the camp in verse 26. They are Eldad and Medad. They didn't come out of their camps. They were supposed to come to the tent of the meeting, but they didn't come. They remained in the camp. In spite of remaining in the camp, they were experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit of God upon them. And they were started prophesying in the camp itself. So a young man came and said, hey, they are prophesying. Though there are 68 people here and two people are left over, still God's intention of the 70 people was that they would be having the resting of the Spirit upon them. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, verse 28, he said, who was the attendant of Moses from his youth, said, Moses, my Lord, restrain them. Restrain them. They did not come. How can they prophesy? No, don't include them. But Moses had to tell, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit upon him. Moses' desire was that the Spirit of the Lord may rest upon everyone. But God had special plan for different people to do different works. The Gershonites, Merarites, Kohathites, and the remaining sons of Israel, each one were given responsibilities. For some, the responsibility of prophesying. Moses said, I wish everyone would be prophets. Apostle Paul said the same thing. But when the gift of the Holy Spirit is given, to some he given the gift of prophesying, for some administration, for some different kinds of gifts that are given. But Moses' desire, you see the humility of Moses. Huh? Why is that person speaking? Why did that person not come? Yes, that's right, Joshua, we shouldn't have done that. No, he did not. He knew that the Holy Spirit of God is working in this people, so let it go. Let it happen. I wish everyone is a prophet. But not all were, but his heart, the nature of Moses can be seen here. The nature of Moses can be seen here. Wonderful lessons from this great man of God, who was an ordinary man like you and I, but God used him for extraordinary purposes, in spite of his weaknesses that he was going through in his life. And then the remainder of chapter 11, we see that these people who were craving for food, ultimately, the quail came again. Remember the quail and manna that was there on their way to Sinai? Now from Sinai, when they were going also, God allowed the quail or the birds to be given to them. And while the food was still in their mouth, the Lord struck the people with a severe plague. Those who walk by sight, God cannot handle them. Though they were given that meat, it was to be able to destroy them because they were not walking by faith. That is how the Numbers chapter 11 ended. Numbers chapter 12. Now this is within the family of Moses. Miriam and Aaron both are older to Moses. Suddenly something has happened. Maybe some family issues, or whatever be it. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. They spoke against Moses, the man of God, because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. Could be Zipporah when he married, right? Because there is no other incident that we see that he married someone. So somehow, they were not really comfortable with Moses' wife. I don't know what, you know, sometimes there's problems in families. That person married so-and-so, issues, you know, what kind of a person he is, you know. Such kind of family problems, I think. I don't know if that is the main cause, because Next verse, in verse 2. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Why should God only speak through Moses? What big thing is Moses? We are there, right? Aaron, you are the high priest. I'm the one who actually took care of Moses. I'm the one who put him in the basket. We don't know what all was going on in the heart of hearts. It could be a family problem. It could be a jealousy, murmuring within the family. Note it down, murmuring. That's what it says in my English heading on the top of chapter 12, the murmuring. Maybe they are whispering. We don't know what all was happening. You know what they were saying? Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Many people think that, why only through you that God should speak? Why can't God speak through me? I will take the pulpit. I should be the one. Who are you? Why are you not giving me the opportunity? And things like that. Let me tell you, when God intends, he will do it. No matter what. It's not in people's control. I have experienced it in my life. When God intends his will to be happening in our lives, who are we to question? Now these people were thinking probably, we are second level or third level. What is this? Why Moses only? What is so big thing about Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? Well, God can speak through us also, right? We can stand there. We can speak on behalf of the people. Such kind of a mentality of jealousy or, you know, why should God speak only through you? We have to be very careful in these kind of things. Sometimes others will inflict. Why only that person should speak? You also can speak, na? That's right. Such kind of inflictions happen. People try to affect us to the extent of questioning the whole counsel of God or the purposes of God. Has he spoken only through us? You see again in verse 2, the Lord heard it. Chapter 11 and verse 1, the Lord heard the complaints of people. Chapter 12 and verse 2, the Lord heard the murmurings, whisperings. Let me tell you, maybe we are kind of having something against someone and we go tell someone, hey, you know, that brother, that sister, or that person is like that. Remember, that person may not hear you. You may want to tell everyone else other than that person. But let me tell you, the first person who hears is God. Be careful when we try to murmur, complain, whisper against someone. Very, very careful. Important lessons that I am learning. Who are we to question God's authority? Murmuring? Wonderful explanation of this man, Moses. Verse 3. Now the man, Moses, was very humble. More than any man who was on the face of the earth. Such a humble man, people are against him. Own family members and the people, they were against him. And we will see in future chapters also, many people rebelled against Moses. But Moses had this title from God that he was the meekest man on earth. Meekest man. No one else was as humble as Moses. Another lesson to learn. A leader to be the humblest person. That is the quality of a leader. To be humble. Servant leadership. Humble yourself, my dear. Only then God will exalt you. You try to show forth, you say, why can't we do it? That is not humility. God looks at humility. Maybe Aaron and Miriam were better leaders. I don't know. But God chose Moses, a stammerer, to be the leader. Many times we think, that person could be a better leader. Why did they choose this person over that person? Let me tell you. That is human way of thinking. God's choices are different. And the story after that, it goes through to the extent of verse 7. In this, actually, God calls immediately. I really like that. Verse 4. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, "You three, come out to the tent of the meeting." God deals with issues immediately. Suddenly, it says, when there is a problem, deal with it, my dear. Don't, we'll see what will happen. It will keep going. It becomes, might become bigger and bigger. God, when he heard that there is a problem, he called all the three, not just Aaron and Miriam. He said, all the three of you, I want you to come. I want to talk to you. And then he keeps Moses. He talks to Aaron and Miriam. The way God dealt with these problems, internal problems, family problems, amazing, let me tell you. This is how we have to deal with problems. Don't try to run away problems. Don't try to cover the problems. Deal with it. Deal with it. If you come across situations where people are talking against you, if you come to know about it, deal with it, my dear. Go talk to them. Brother, this is what has happened. I'm not sure if that is true or not. I just want to clarify that this is not the case. There seems to be a miscommunication or something like that. But if you try to ponder over it, you will probably have something negative about that person because you did not communicate. And that miscommunication will become such a problem within families, within churches, to the extent of breakups as well. Be careful. Deal with the problem. Be adults. Be mature, spiritually mature, growing Christians to the extent of handling the problems. With the help of the Lord, God wanted to deal with them. And God had to deal in a very hard way. Miriam had to go through a skin disease. She had to stay for 7 days. And then Moses had to pray, chapter 12 and verse 13, had to pray on behalf of her. And then she came back. And then I'm sure after this, the three of them were able to get along. I'm sure after this, in spite of these problems that they had, against talking against each other, the moment God brought all the three together and God dealt with them, we might have some problems, families, siblings, in-laws, church, brothers and sisters, anywhere. You might have problems. I'm not saying that you will not have problems. But how you deal with them? Don't run away. Don't try to tell everyone else other than these people, because you're actually, you know, affecting their character. Character assassination is happening. Do you know everything about that person? Or are you heard something? Oh, this is what I heard about that person because that person told that person. And then this, what a terrible situation that is. Deal with it. It may be very hard to handle it, but come to a reconciliation. And I'm sure the reconciliation might have happened between the brothers and sister after this incident. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7. God is telling Aaron and Miriam about Moses. Verse 6. He said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household." These verses are used in the book of Hebrews. Later on, you'll see that. Moses being faithful in all the household. Jesus better than Moses as a son in the house. We will study it later on. But please note it down. The one who walks by faith will be faithful. Will be humble and be faithful. Actually, we could use both. Verse 3, Moses was meek or humble. And in verse 7, my servant Moses, he is faithful in all my household. Servant Moses. Not the leader Moses, my servant. Some people want to consider servant also as a big high position. Servant means serving. You don't exalt. Saying that I am a servant, what do you think? I am a government servant, what do you think? I am a God servant, what do you think? No, that is not what it is. I am humbling myself. A servant of God needs to humble himself in the sight of God. And even when it comes to leading the people, he was faithful in all my household. He is a humble man. Quickly, let's move on. Chapter 13 and 14 actually talks about, I think we meditated in the past also in various series that we had, the valley of Eshkol, during the through the valley experiences. Chapter 13 and 14 is now that they reach a place in the wilderness of Paran. Chapter 13. And then 12 people were sent as spies to take a survey of the land of Canaan. Before everyone goes, 12 people were sent to spy out the land. And Moses tells them, go check what kind of land it is, what kind of people are there. Go find out, see what the land is like, and everything to be able to go forth. And I just want to show you in the form of a map. They traveled from Mount Sinai to the wilderness of Paran, around in this place called Kadesh. Kadesh Barnea is another place that typically you might have heard. Sometimes you may not understand what is this Kadesh Barnea and all that. These are places. So they travel from here all the way till there. From Kadesh Barnea, the 12 spies in Canaan, they go up to Bethel. And on the way, they stop at Hebron. And there is a valley of Eshkol, where they carry a cluster of grapes and pomegranates, and they bring them back. Probably you might know the story. Otherwise, please go and read through the story. Wonderful story for us to be able to understand. But in this particular story, again, we see that walking by sight, walking by faith can be seen. If you see, in chapter 13, they go and spy the land, they come back, and this is what they say. In verse 28, verse 27, they say, we went into the land where you sent us. It certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. So they bring the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. We saw, walking by sight, we saw the people of Anak. Anakites are huge giants. Okay, they were in the land of Hebron at that time. Huge giants. And that is what the Amalek is living in the land of Negev and all that we see. So note it down. Their sight, walking by sight, really caused them to doubt. To doubt, doubting. Chapter 13 and verse 28. And also chapter 13 and verse 32. They gave out the son of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. You see the word saw, walking by sight, not the vision that God has given. When we have a vision, we may not see right now, but we have a vision by faith. But by sight, when we see these huge giants that are there, big problems that are there. Verse 33, there also we saw the Nephilim, the son of Anak, are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight. Chapter 12, chapter 13, verse 33. All is about sight. We were like grasshoppers. They were like giants. We were like grasshoppers. Both were human beings. They are exalting one to say they are like giants. We like Lilliputs. You see that? That is all based on our strength, because we are looking at ourselves, walking by sight. People who walk by sight will doubt whether they will be able to conquer the land, whether they will be victorious or not. Doubting. Grasshoppers, such small ones. We are like them. They might stamp on us. They are like giants. But let me tell you, those who walk by faith, they trust in the Lord. The same thought process we had even in worship time. Whom do you trust? They trust in the Lord. Note it down. They trust in the Lord. They don't look at the problems. They look at the God who is able to solve the problems. God can solve the problem by fixing it. God can solve the problem by eliminating it. There are two ways God will solve the problem. He can either fix it, keeping it, or just taking it away. That is another way of solving the problem. But you need to trust in the Lord. Whom do you trust today? You trust in people. You trust in money. Even on the dollar bills, it says, in God we trust. So are we trusting in money, which comes and goes? But we trust in our God. Chapter 13 and verse 30. Caleb, wonderful man of God. He had to quieten these people. A person who walks by faith will have the power of the Holy Spirit of God upon them to be able to quieten these people. Quiet, please. Hear what I'm telling you. He quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep within my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. Yes, we will. Is it by our strength that we shall overcome? No. We shall overcome. We'll see in chapter 14, verse 8. Along with Caleb came another friend of his. Out of the 12 spies, 2 spies came out. Verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun. Now he's getting stronger and stronger. Earlier, this Joshua, the young man, how he was tackling at Mount Sinai, at the tent of the meeting, when those 2 out of the 70 elders, they started prophesying. He was kind of growing up. But the time has come now for Joshua to work along with Caleb. And now he says, they spoke in front of the people in verse 7. The land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, the land which flows with milk and honey. God will give us trusting in the Lord. If the Lord is pleased with us, in other words, if it is God's will. If God is pleased with us, are you pleasing the Lord? Are you doing things that are pleasing in his sight? Then whatever you ask, it will be given unto you. One of our brothers got that personal promise. If you do things that are pleasing to him, whatever you ask, 1 John chapter 3. It's very important, my dear. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will take us into the land flowing with milk and honey. That is what it is. Verse 9. Do not rebel against the Lord. Please note it down. The one who walks by sight rebels against the Lord. Because they're looking at problems. Oh, this immigration problem. Oh, this health problem. This financial problem. This family problem. This job problem. This settlement issue. Maybe we are going through a lot of giants in our lives right now. How are we going to face these giants? By walking by faith. Walking by faith will make a difference. Do not rebel, please. Do not rebel. Joshua and Caleb were telling them. Verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Please. Who are you to talk against God like that? Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. What a wonderful, promising, encouraging way of people who walk by faith encourage others. They had to tell. In the meantime, Moses and Aaron go and pray in the tent of the meeting. So wonderfully how God has enabled these people to take responsibilities. Moses is already tired with so many things, so he goes into the tent of the meeting and pray. Along with probably Aaron as well. But now we see Joshua and Caleb. They quieted these people outside. Hey guys, what? We went there. I'm telling you, we are witnesses. Listen to us. And then Moses and Aaron, they pray. But these people were not willing to. Instead, they wanted to stone them with stones. Verse 10. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Whom? Joshua and Caleb. They could not. And then we see that God tells that, okay, this is what I'm going to finalize doing it. But there is someone who is going to be a unique person in all these people in verse 24. Verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Because He has a different spirit and has followed me fully. Please note it down. The final point, walking by faith, following the Lord fully. One who walks by faith follows the Lord fully, not partially. Wholly following the Lord. Wholly. This year 2020, may we be people who are on the right side, which is walking by faith. Let us be like Moses. Let us be like Joshua. Let us be like Caleb, who walked by faith. Let us not be like others who were walking by sight. And God had to deal with them. And judgment of the Lord had to happen on them. And that judgment of the Lord can be seen in verse 34. Please note it down. The judgment of God, 40 days to 40 years. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 34. Verse 34, according to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days, for every day you shall bear your guilt a year, even 40 years, and you will know my opposition. Sometimes we may be forgiven, but there could be consequences of our sins. For every day that they went to spy out the land, they are going to wander in the wilderness. That's going to be the next title of this sermon. Not walking in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness. 40 years you'll be wandering in the wilderness. God is going to churn out people. I'm going to share with you later on. The generation of people, more than 20, that came out of the land of Egypt did not enter into the land of Canaan, except for two, Joshua and Caleb. A new generation of people entered into the land of Canaan. These people, within those 40 years of wandering, they died, including Miriam, Aaron, Moses. God had to deal with each one individually. How much ever you are serving the Lord, when we are doing things that are not acceptable to the sight of God, we may be forgiven, but we might need to go through some consequences of it too, certain times. In conclusion, I just want us to read the book of Hebrews chapter 3 in conclusion. Shall we all read this together, please? Hebrews chapter 3 verses 15 to 19 all together, please. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, those whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. The New Testament is referring to the Old Testament as an example for us to learn. Not to harden our hearts, not to rebel, not to sin, not to disobey, not to have unbelief. These are all qualities of a person who walks by sight. They may be saying, praise the Lord, how are you, and everything, but they may be walking by sight. God only knows whether you're walking by sight or walking by faith. Sometimes we also might know based on the way in which people behave or act or react, but God knows clearly whether we are walking by sight or walking by faith. So these yellow highlighted ones, are we doing anything that is causing us to walk by sight? Disobeying, unbelief. Or in other words, no trust. Belief or trust are synonym words. That is why songwriter says, trust and obey, not disobey and unbelief. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his will, good will, he abides with us still, if we only trust and obey. In this year 2020, being the first Sunday of this year, Let us make the commitment to the Lord and saying, Lord, I don't want to walk by sight. I'm going to see a lot of things in this year, but I want to have the vision by faith, by trust in you. As you said, listen to me, put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Don't look at the things of this world to the extent of going through complaining, murmuring, craving, what else? Weeping, doubting, rebelling. These are all the qualities of a people who walk by sight. How you talk with people, God is hearing. Remember, when you're trying to call someone or chat with someone, I don't know why this person is doing like that. God is hearing. Let us be very careful. Let us not be rebels. But let us trust and obey. May the Lord bless this word.